So, in case you're thinking, as you discover what the message is about, that this message on retirement and aging isn't for you, I got some pretty rough news for you. We are all aging. As much as we might try to fight it or ignore it, we can't change that truth. In fact, not even my age-defying body wash can defeat aging, which so I never noticed it until this week when I was writing this sermon that it said that on the bottle. Pam got it for me. Not sure what you're trying to say, Pam. Actually, I think she got it for Hannah, and I stole it and put it in my shower. But can body wash really defy age? Not so sure. So this message applies to all ages. And hopefully we all want to, as my title says, finish well. So I want to talk about this morning, our context, that we're in an unprecedented moment in the church, and then our call to rethink retirement, and then we'll finish off with our character, aging well as Christian discipleship. So let's begin with our context, this unprecedented moment in the church. And if you pay attention to the news or issues of healthcare, housing, economics, and other civic or political issues, you know that our aging demographic is a huge concern due to its unprecedented scope and scale. So in case you're unfamiliar with the situation, it's that the baby boomer generation, those born between 1946 and 1965, are entering into retirement and old age and represent the largest group to ever enter into these older years, both due to the number of them in that generation, hence the term boomers, and that we are living longer than ever. So right now, there are nearly 7 million Canadians 65 or older. So that's about 20% of the population. And this aging demographic is a global, not just North American, phenomenon. Within the next decade, experts say concern about global aging will likely surpass concerns about global warming, possibly out of sheer necessity of how will we as a society care for and engage this population. I mean, life expectancy was scarcely 40 not that long ago, but now is nearly double that, about 75 to 80, and increasing by about 2 years or more each decade. The aging demographic is an unprecedented moment in the history of the world, but also in the church. The church will likely live or die over the next few decades, based on its ability to reach and engage the boomer generation, which will likely make up the majority of churches, and then their ability to reach and engage the next generation and help carry the church forward. So how we all respond to this situation, this missional opportunity, is one of the most important questions and challenges facing the church in the 21st century. And, you know, just broaching these topics as a church, capital C, is kind of course, fairly new. Throughout history, older people have been such a small portion of the population. I mean, if life expectancy used to be about 40, the reality was sermons weren't really being preached on retirement and aging, and theologies weren't really being developed about what it means to age well, because theology, at least good theology like that in the Bible, usually responds to the needs and circumstances of the culture around it, and this wasn't much of a need. So part of the impetus for this message is that if God is giving us longer life, let's prepare for it. Let's do it well. Let's finish well, for to whom much is given, including years on the earth, much is also required. So based on this context of where we are as a society, it's time to start developing a Christian outlook on retirement and aging. And in theme with our Breath to Death series, how we can experience God in these seasons. So let's start with talking about our call to rethink retirement. And so would you just, I know you just stretched, but you can do it again. Would you just stand with me to honor God's word as we read a few scriptures here related to this point? So Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. May God bless the reading of his words. You may be seated. So when it comes to retirement, like almost anything else, the way we approach and define this as Christians should be quite radically different than the message of the culture, and particularly the message advertisers want to get across. Retirement is often thought of as having time to, you know, finally enjoy the treasures we'd stored up for ourselves, to have the freedom to now enjoy ourselves. But that definition of retirement sort of rubs up against these scriptures where Jesus says, store your treasures in heaven, and where Paul says in Galatians that our freedom is not about indulging ourselves, but rather about serving one another and loving our neighbor as ourself. So how do you think about retirement? Is it, you know, traveling and cruises and playing golf and buying a retirement home, spending our time in leisure and freedom? Or when you think of retirement, do you think of the opportunity to be more free to serve others humbly in love? So what does a Christian vision of retirement look like? So in Christianity, I would say, scripturally speaking, there is not such a thing as retirement, at least not in the way society defines it. Is it okay to retire from paid work or a certain career? Of course. But we never retire from the work God calls us to. His calling on our lives, particularly the calling to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. So I think as the church, we need to rethink retirement, and I would say sort of even rename it more as the realignment years more than retirement years, where we shift our work and our calling. Retirement is not a cessation from work. That's kind of a worldly definition. For the Christian, it's just a shift in work. Perhaps from a paid calling or vocation to an unpaid one, serving others for the glory of God in unpaid activities. So retirement is a chance to give back, not to pull back, a time for greater engagement, particularly in the kingdom, rather than disengagement. All right, so you may be thinking, whoa, Joseph, you're ruining all my dreams and plans. My whole life, I've been looking forward to finally stopping work, having all that free time, working on my hobbies, traveling the world, having a second home in the South, having no commitments, and now you're telling me I have to serve others in my retirement, be accountable to God? Well, yeah. But it's actually good news. For like most messages of the world, secular retirement promises way more than it could ever deliver. And yes, I do want to expose those lies, that we are bombarded with these messages and need to be discerning. So here's one of literally hundreds of commercials I could show you and the message they give about retirement. So listen to the words and kind of pay attention to the images in this commercial, which maybe you've seen, or you've at least seen 100 like it.
When you retire, will you act or feel different? Or will you just be you, without the constraints of a full-time job? You can grow your retirement savings with Pacific Life and create the future that's most meaningful to you. Which means you can retire without retiring from life. Having the flexibility to retire on your terms? That's the power of Pacific. Ask your financial professional about Pacific Life today.
So there you go, Pacific Life. There's your free advertisement, except now I'm going to pick it apart. But hear the words in this commercial. Just be you without constraints. Create the future that's most meaningful for you. Have the flexibility to retire on your terms. What these commercials never show, like so much advertising in the world, is just how destabilizing and even demoralizing retirement from work can be for people. How often lost, purposeless, and disillusioned they sometimes feel. So I want to speak from my experience of kind of pastorally walking people through retirement years. And, you know, I've had many people open up to me. Of course, this is the retirement community where lots of people move here to retire and then find a new church when they move here. But they say, you know, I just don't know what I'm doing in my life anymore. My identity has been taken from me. I feel lost. One non-Christian retired woman said to Hannah and I that her life just felt so meaningless since retiring. And she felt like all these activities that she was in, hiking clubs and meetups and et cetera, just felt so empty, so inward focused, all about their well-being with no purpose to it. And of course, we know that the sobering facts that suicide among retirees is growing like crazy. As Wayne and Mary said to me recently, retirement is the great equalizer, right? Where nobody cares any longer what you do or what you did. Rather, it becomes much more about who you are as a person. In retirement, the core of our identity gets tested. But what the research is showing is that there is a strong desire for meaning and significance among retirees. That is, they don't really want what the advertisers are convincing them that they want. They still want their lives to matter. Maybe they've achieved success in their career, sure, but now they want significance in their life. And as more and more studies get done and released, and there's a lot coming out on retirement and aging due to the contextual situation we described, what we're finding is what the Bible has taught for thousands of years, that there is more joy, contentment, and satisfaction in life when it's lived in service to others and for a purpose beyond ourselves. In his book, Halftime, a guidebook for finishing well, Bob Buford says that for retirees who choose service over leisure, the payoff is blessedness. And I find most retirees do want more. I love the movie The Intern. Have you seen this? With Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway, where De Niro has retired and he's had a successful career. And then he takes an unpaid full-time internship and ends up really blessing that company and blessing a lot of the people here. And so, by the way, we're offering that same unpaid full-time internship to retirees here. And we're accepting applications as of tomorrow morning. So you watch the movie, get inspired, and then we'll start you. So how do we plan now for our Christian retirement? So I'm speaking to all age groups here, whether you're 20 and just starting to work, or 65 and retired, or about to retire. I mean, many spend incredible amounts of time and energy planning financially for their retirement, and that's okay. But why would we not spend just as much, if not more, time preparing spiritually? Friends, there is a spiritual battle for the souls and attention of retirees. Because if God gets a hold of the largest demographic with arguably the most time and money and resources, whoa, get ready for revival. Intentionally begin to plan now how you will approach retirement and choose a deliberate plan of service. And if we don't, here's what can happen so easily, is that you begin to slip into routines of pattern and comfort that turn us inward on ourselves, and then those patterns become hard to change. I know, left to my own flesh, so confession, I might spend my retirement retreating kind of into my perfect, controlled, insulated, introverted world and just enjoying being free from all the concerns of others. That's kind of what my flesh wants. So I've started intentionally developing and praying about God-sized dreams and plans now about what I might want to do later if the Lord wills and doesn't return. So I know I want to, you know, write and publish more, hopefully bless the church in that way and the Christian community, something I just don't have much time for right now. I can see moving into more of a part-time supportive role in a church someday where I'm no longer the lead, don't need a lot of income, but just be there to bless and to encourage leaders, to teach when helpful. Hannah and I have talked about adopting or fostering once we're empty nesters. So start now in developing a Christian vision of retirement and a plan for how you will serve others and experience God in that season in life. Because by the time you retire, you'll have this incredible gift of a lifetime of experience that you can use now to bless others in service. So what's your plan for it? Maybe going back to something that you always wanted to or even felt called to do, but perhaps you had to lay that aside for your family or for career or for mortgage payments. But now's your chance to revisit that previous dream. Maybe it was overseas missions or local missions or social justice work in the community. And we could feature stories from many people here in our congregation. And can I just say that you all inspire me, and we learn from you, and I consider it a great gift to know and work around so many great examples. And to be honest, before moving to this community, I never thought about retirement that much. And then I was suddenly surrounded by retirees all the time and live in Qualicum Beach, the oldest town in all of Canada. But it's great. I consider it a gift. And Hannah and I talk about all the time the different things about people we admire, and we're like, man, I want to be like that. Do that in our retirement years. We don't want to be like those people. And so many of you selflessly give of your time and are really heroes to us. I mean, the way you minister in the care homes, the way so many of you volunteer weekly at Arrington Elementary, using your retirement years and time to do that. Give rides to church to those who can't drive. Take hurting family and people into your homes. Our grandparenting kids are taking kids into your care and into your homes. Our caretaker for your spouse or someone else. How you mentor young people and cheerlead new and younger leaders, like many of our pastoral staff. And can I just say, I realize we're a very young pastoral team, but just so you know, behind that are some incredibly wise people and awesome people. Our whole entire council was made up of retired people, and those who have laid the foundation of this church are those who gave up a lot of their time in those years. The way you use your skills of your previous paid possession to now bless others and offer it in service. Those of you who give yourselves to intercession and prayer ministry in these years of your life. I mean, many of our retired folks are helping hold up and support this church and this community with their time and their labor and their finances and their Christian witness. So I just want to say thank you and keep showing us younger people examples of self-giving Christian retirement. So I want to highlight just one example by interviewing someone here. I didn't want to have to pick from our congregation, didn't want to show any favoritism, so I went outside of our congregation, and this is one of my local heroes and great examples of retirement. So Perry, why don't you come up, and you may know Perry, or at least her name, but why don't you give her a nice big hand as she comes? And Perry previously worked in doing some teaching, and most recently as the Healthy Community Coordinator for the City of Parksville. Is your mic in your chair?
Yes, I've been retired for quite a while. That was almost at least 25 years ago.
And still going.
Yeah.
So she's done some work in our community, but officially retired quite a bit of time ago. And now she's working tirelessly as a volunteer, advocating for the homeless of Oceanside. That's why you might know her. And has been hitting up the huge task of getting a cold weather shelter off the ground, which has been mostly left on the shoulders of volunteers and churches this year, and we're hoping for a start date very soon. So, Perry, why don't you just tell us briefly about your retirement journey?
My retirement journey, I have to admit, I was not so deliberate in making a plan as you suggested, but it seemed to be, I think, like I've been very blessed with health and a small pension, and a home. So I have also been, that has given me the freedom to choose. And I think I spent many years in Korea as teaching in a Christian college of nursing, which every day opened my eyes to the role of Christian love in each moment of each day. And what that meant was that it feels like you have no limits. You choose. I have been so lucky to choose and to be able to, I don't know, like I was thinking one day how much it was to just be able to look at the sun out there and see it and feel it and appreciate it, and how fortunate it is to be able to see there's a difficult situation here in Parksville. Maybe I can help.
So you took that freedom that you felt and experienced, and one of the things you've decided to use it for in our community here is really dedicating yourself to serving the homeless of our community, and particularly right now in this cold weather shelter venture, which you've somehow taken on as the lead, solely as a volunteer. So what led you to kind of get involved in this in your retirement years? Because you could be taking it easy, right?
I could. I have to admit, I bought a membership in one of these vacation clubs, and I haven't taken it yet.
After the cold weather shelter is over, hopefully.
Anyway, it's not a deliberate decision. It's just what is. And I became a member of something called Parksville Koalicum Kairos, which is an ecumenical group working for social justice. And as part of that group, eventually I became a representative of that group on the Oceanside Task Force for Homelessness. And I would say there are many people in this community who have worked so hard on homelessness for a long time, much longer than I have. And their work is inspiring. So when it became clear that it was time to step up and make a decision for this year. And it has been, you know, the sad parts of it is that we didn't open November 1st. But the happy part is that probably around December 1st it will open. And it's not me, it's everybody. And it's the churches in Oceanside have come together, volunteers in Oceanside. Contrary to what I expected from reading the paper, businesses in Oceanside, service clubs are all interested in helping to see that this happens. And we have formed a society in order to be able to be the provider and use BC housing funds to open the shelter in 8 churches in our community on a rotating basis. And it's going to be an interesting, someone said to me, I've been away, I heard what you're trying to do. What a disaster. And I said, no, it's not going to be.
That's right.
And it's like, you go, oh, that's happening. And then, what? yep, and now it's happening again. Now there's two things. Whoop, no, up it comes. So thanks to the goodwill of many people, we are going ahead.
And so Perry has put in all this time and effort, and she's working with insurance providers and putting together teams and getting all of these things. So what advice would you give us? Because, you know, certainly calling is sort of a process, right? And you continually discern, even late in life, what God is calling you to do. So what advice would you give us about how to continue to discern God's shifting call on our life? Because you probably never saw yourself doing this at 80, but here you are.
And here, I guess that is what the strength of having God in your life could be. I am not afraid or fearful. Yeah. Now, part of that is just because I'm very, very lucky with good health. So far, anyway. Yeah. I know it can turn on a dime. But it is, I guess, being able to live in the moment, too. To be able, in Korea as a lay pastor, I learned like almost to pray constantly. And you would see something, someone didn't get hit by a car, thanks to God. The sun is sparkling, thanks to God. Someone has offered me a meal, thanks to God. And those, to be able to appreciate each moment like that. And another thing I've been telling myself a lot lately, especially, is I try hard to engage with the positive, to acknowledge the negative, but not to engage with negativity in a negative way.
Awesome. Yeah. So, just wanted to kind of feature that, and because this is part of one of the people I've said, well, when I'm 80, I hope I'm still doing things like that, Lord willing, like you said. I mean, health factors and different things like that. But why don't you give Perry a hand? Thank you so much. Continue to pray for her as she serves our community well. So Jim Houston says, in the final season of life, we are in a position to have the greatest influence if we don't grow weary. So how we approach retirement is really, it's just the fruit of the last point here, our character, aging well as Christian discipleship. As we age further into our retirement, it's true that we may begin to slow down, may not be able to serve in all the same ways we did even early in our retirement. But that doesn't mean we don't continue the discipleship process and our Christian maturing, as well as hopefully exude the fruit of a Christian life well lived. Some of you know Hannah was previously a chaplain at a care home for several years in Richmond. And what we noticed is that as inhibitions decrease with age, character is more mightily revealed, and things often lurking beneath the surface begin kind of to be acted out. So what we would see is that, you know, men who were very lustful in their life, but maybe were suppressing it or not acting out on it, as those inhibitions decreased in these care homes, men would often talk very sexually to women, would grab them, would do different things that maybe the social norms kept them from doing before. Or maybe people that struggled with gossip throughout their life, that became one of the main activities of their life as their years went later on. Or those who were maybe bitter and complained a lot during life, well, that kind of only got magnified and led to a fairly somewhat miserable existence later in life. But on the flip side of that, what we would see is people that spent a lot of their life cultivating the fruit of the Spirit, that it actually became richer and riper in their later years in life, that they actually became more kind, more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more patient, and they just exuded goodness from them. And so that just, it really got Hannah and I thinking about our lives. what trajectory am I on? What character of mine is going to be exaggerated later in life? Is it going to be the good, the fruit of the Spirit? Or is it going to be my tendency to complain, to be negative? And it's a sobering thing to begin to think about how that might work. One of just the best verses on aging in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 6:14, which says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So our maturity in Christ, our love and devotion for God, our Christian discipleship is actually growing stronger, even though perhaps outwardly we are wasting away. So aging approach biblically doesn't have to be about decay, spiraling downward. Rather, it's ideally the peak of our moral and spiritual development, becoming more like Christ. And so we are to counter the world's idolatrous love for outer appearance and cognition and professionalism and productivity by focusing on this inner spiritual beauty of growth and character and the fruit of the spirits. Our aging years have the potential to be the best and maybe even most effective years of our lives, spiritually speaking. One of our core values as a church is missional equipping, which says in part that every person is called to participate in the mission of God. Young and old, rich and poor, men and women, single and married, working and retired, all play an equal and important role in the kingdom of God and in our church. And so as a church, one way we can be a light to our community is modeling creative intergenerational action and ministry to one another. I mean, a grace upon this church is its intergenerational makeup. We're not an elderly church, but we're also not a young church. We're growing fairly equally in all demographics, and I know so many of you comment on how much you love that and learn from that experience. And that's a great witness to the world in an age of ever-increasing division between generations, where we can form a place where we're not saying, okay, boomer, the recent viral, mostly pejorative phrase used by Gen Xers and millennials as a put-down. No, we allow boomers space to talk, and we listen, and we respect them. Conversely, boomers listen to millennials and Xers, even be willing to receive reverse mentoring and learning from them. This is how the church can be different. Let's be a light to our community and a prophetic witness when it comes to both finishing well in our later years in life, choosing a life of serving others rather than ourselves, and in the way we treat each other, and specifically the way we treat the aging. So, church, if you're entering into those retirement or aging years, we as a church want to do everything we can do to equip you to finish well. So we encourage you to prayerfully enter into that journey here at Oceanside. And there is room for you here to share your gifts, to serve, to love others. So we want to pray for you and honor you and commission you this morning. I'm going to ask the band to come up just to aid us in our prayer. And as has been our pattern in this series, sort of kind of an unplanned tradition for these breath-to-death messages, is we want to invite you up and lay hands on you and call down the Spirit of God upon you. So if you're retired or semi-retired, but basically just no longer doing what you used to do full-time, whether that was a parent or whether that was working, but you're in a season in life of retirement that is different, we want to pray for you. And we're going to have somebody from the younger generation, Joy. She's going to come and just speak blessing and pray over you. But we just want you to feel encouraged and affirmed and say, hey, continue leading the way for us and showing us a Christian life well lived. And so we want to say thanks. So Joy, come on up and I don't know who will be the first brave soul to say, yeah, I'm a part of the older generation. I'm retired, but we see you. You guys are awesome. And, you know, next week, actually, we're flipping it back. We're going to talk about teenage years, and it's going to be your chance to pray for and bless teenagers. But at the same time, this is an important ministry you've been called to. So we want to thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the example you've set for us. And I know I speak for other young people here when we say, we hope in a lot of ways we can be like you when we grow up. All right. Well, thanks, guys. And then if any of the younger people now, by younger, I mean under 55 or whatever, would you maybe come up and lay a hand on them and pray for them? And let's bless them. Let's bless our elders in this church. So thank you, young people. Bless them. Lay hands on them. And Joy is going to pray blessing over all of you. And then Lydia will close us with a benediction.
Try again. Oh, there we go. I just want to say, as I was preparing to do this, when Joseph asked me, I was thinking through it and thinking about some passages of scripture. And 2 Timothy 4 came to mind, and I'm going to read it for you from verse 1 until verse 8. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and in out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on this day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. God, I just want to thank you so much for this group of people, and I want to thank you that each one is called to participate in the mission of God, and each one of these has played a special part in it, and I pray that they continue to show our younger generation what it's like to follow you. And God, I just pray that you are with them, and you will honor them in them loving you and teaching others. And God, I just pray for guidance and protection over them each day as they go about their business and helping teach us the ways. And we thank you in your name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to give you the benediction as you go. And so please receive it from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And so may we all do that, whether from breath to death, from birth to retirement. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.